Hello, may I welcome you to episode 80 of Moving Matters. I am your host, Colin Wynne. I hope Moving Matters will give you an insight to others working or have worked in this wonderful industry as I delve into their past, their present and their future. You will find a new episode of Moving Matters on the second and fourth Thursday of each month. In this episode, we discuss how my guest began loosely within the industry, by mistake, in 2000, doing removals while studying for a postgraduate degree in physiotherapy. We discuss his challenges, what he would change from his moving past, his high points, what changes he would make to the industry, the advice he would give starting out again, his predictions for the next 5 years, and what he does outside of the workplace. And as always, we end Moving Matters with a funny moving story regarding a helping hand from the afterlife. My guest this episode is David Burgess, owner of We Move You Edinburgh. Enjoy. Good morning, David. Welcome to Moving Matters. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Can you tell everybody about yourself and the length of time within the industry?
I was born in Manchester. I worked straight from school for about 7 years. I went to Australia for a year, gallivanting around. Got off the plane in London, was going to be there for a couple of days before I made it back to Manchester, but then got a job that night working as a night security guard with my brother, and then ended up staying there for a couple of years. I then moved to South Wales to do a sports science degree. Then back to London for a couple of years, and now back to Edinburgh, where I then studied a postgrad in physiotherapy, where I seem to have stayed.
But not doing physiotherapy, though?
Not doing physiotherapy anymore, no. I graduated, but I was doing the removal side at the same time as when I graduated. I thought I could do both at the same time. That didn't happen. So then one had to go. And I think just like the politics at the time of physio, the removals industry seemed to be an easier option at that time. So that's the direction that I ended up going. I married Charlie in Scotland and have a 14-year-old daughter, Matilda. We've got Olive the dog, two tiny tortoises called Barnaby and Captain Slow, and two horses, Sam and Ruby. So I've loosely been in the industry since about the year 2000. So about 24 years now.
What's the name of your company, David?
We Move You Edinburgh.
So We Move You Edinburgh. Has yes. that been going since 2000?
No. I started, I guess, as a man and van type company. And the We Move You Edinburgh has been rebranded over the last couple of years.
So can you tell everybody about your company and the services it offers?
I think we do lots of what other removal companies do. House moves, flat moves, house clearances. We do shipping container storage, weekly moves, mainly to and from London. And we do a couple of international moves a year. We do a lot of house clearances with the idea to reduce landfill.
And what size of company are you, David? How many vehicles do you run and how many guys have you got?
We've got 4 vehicles, all different sizes. We got our operator's license maybe a year ago. So we've got one 7.5 tonner, and then a 3.5-ton Luton van, a panel van, and then also a pickup truck. So 4 vehicles, all different shapes and sizes.
And crew size?
Staff-wise, about 4 right. key staff. And we also get lots of helpers as and when required.
And do you have your own storage warehouse?
We have our own yard with shipping right. container storage on there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
And we have 2 yards, really. One in Dunbar in East Lothian and also one in Edinburgh Centre.
On your website, it says that you do services other movers don't do. What are those services then?
We do a lot, again, of the house clearance. We have the idea to reduce landfill as much as possible. So when we get people's property from house clearances, we try and sell it, give it away, anything we can to not let it go into landfill. We try and upcycle where we can, i.e. paint furniture and then sell it on. So we have the idea that the less that goes into landfill, the better.
What makes your company go green? I noticed that on your website too.
It's not just our green branding, but we do like to think we've got some green ethics. And again, it's mainly about the upcycling, the recycling, and seeing what we can do to prevent some items going into landfill.
And are more and more customers wanting that?
Yes. People don't want things to go into landfill as a rule. I guess some won't care, but definitely it seems to be a fashion at the moment, and people are learning that. And I think I have seen a difference over the decades of that. People know that there is lots of costs associated there with it. And if it doesn't need to go into landfill and you can get a second use out of it, then great. And even just looking at the social media and all the different companies that are around now.
Yeah.
Vinted, if I mention one, there's loads that are trying to repurpose furniture, clothes, anything. So it's definitely a fashion at the moment to try and reduce landfill as much as people can.
Are you doing this as well for commercial moves?
Yes.
Because I keep seeing that there's lots of people interested in recycling the desks and the chairs and things like that.
It makes sense to me. What's the point of clearing an office or moving office and then all those desks that can be reused just to go to the tip? And there are companies that do specialise in secondhand office furniture. There's quite a few of those at the moment. And we should team up with some of those. I think we're going to team up with a couple of those companies. But anything that we get, if we can sell it, make reuse out of it, recycle, reuse, whatever, to stop it going into landfill, then that's what we try and do. It's not everything. Things will eventually go into landfill. If nobody wants to buy, you know, that desk, then we can't store it forever.
No, exactly.
At least we can try. And I guess that's one of the negatives of it. We have 100 ton of furniture and rubbish that we collect every year. So, you know, I think that's quite a lot. Just one small business with four vehicles.
Wow.
And if we can just reduce some of that going into landfill, then that can only be a good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you started in 2000 as a man and a van. Did you ever go and work for somebody else and gain removal experience from them? Or did you literally just learn on the job?
It was all my own mistakes that has made me the man I am today.
Mistakes?
No, because I just had a van and got into the industry basically by mistake. One of my friends in London wanted to move a fridge that he sold on Gumtree or something like that. And just because I had a van, then he asked me to move it. I moved that. And then that was possibly the birth of me getting into the removal industry. Then it seemed to be a good idea. Then one or two more people needed something moving. And then as I went through university, lots of university students need their boxes and bags moving. And only because I had the van, then it happened. And then it seemed to be a good idea. So then I stepped it up a little bit and become a business.
You become very popular when you have a van. I think I need to buy myself a van.
You make lots of friends very quickly, yes.
Probably wanting you to move things for next to nothing as well, though. That would be the downside.
Definitely. And I guess once I started, I did move things for next to nothing, for some beer money and some pizza. But I wouldn't say those days have gone, but definitely a lot less often.
So what challenges have you had to overcome then, David?
COVID was an interesting time for me. All the removal companies were busy. You know, I've heard in your podcast before, it could have been their best years ever. because that was a time when removal companies could move and the housing market was buoyant, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I was busy. I was too busy. And with all the furlough of the staff and staff getting COVID and not being able to work that week, if they've got the COVID or someone in their household tested positive, it meant that the jobs that we had already booked in, those jobs still needed to be done. And then if a driver, let's say, couldn't work for that week, then somebody had to do his work. And that somebody was me. So I seemed to be working twice as much than what I should have been doing. Plus, the office at the time was on furlough. So that office work still needed to be done. And that person that needed to do the office, and office work was never my number one forte in life. So that was a struggle. So with all the extra office work, with the extra hours on the trucks, I became burnt out. And that wasn't a good time for me. And then after, you know, even COVID finished, some of the staff didn't want to come back because they were still getting furlough. So it just prolonged getting back to normal. And I was in a tough time at that moment just because of the overworkload and the normal business stresses of life.
Did you kind of lose your way?
Yeah, massively. Because even I had to close down the business for a few months.
Yeah.
Because it was all too much for me. And I guess mental health these days seems to be talked about a lot. And at that time, I was invincible. I was the most physically fit, mentally astute guy that I knew. But in the end, it got me. And then during that time, it just knocked me for six. And, you know, I couldn't do anything for 3 or 4 months. But luckily, I got back to grips. And then that's really when we started and rebranded into We Move You Edinburgh.
The thing is, when you get COVID or come down with it, there's no one else really then to drive the truck, pack the truck, do the office work. It affects a lot more of the business when it's you. A driver and a porter definitely affects the business, don't get me wrong. But they're not also doing the office work and the things that the guys on the front line don't necessarily see behind the scenes.
Definitely. It's the case that if I'm not in the business, and this is a downfall of some businesses, if the head guy is not there working, then it can fall apart quite quickly because there is a lot to do with all the office work, with all the deliveries, organising the staff, the logistics, paying all the bills, etc., getting paid. But a driver mainly drives a van and offloads and loads. They don't get involved with the other bits and pieces that are involved in the profession. And just like the office, don't get involved too much with loading and unloading. But when you're, I guess, a small company, and if you end up doing everything, once you're not there, it can fall down very, very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. So if you could change anything from your moving past, what would it be?
If I can change anything, I think if I could change COVID, that would be a good thing. But I don't think I could. I think at that time, I should have just had a little sit down and stopped taking on more jobs until we were organized and I had all the staff back again. But it's so hard not to take a job. If you pay lots of money for advertising and getting jobs, when that phone call comes through and you take the job, all the sales team, i.e. me, wants to do is take that job, not say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't do it because we don't know if we've got staff tomorrow. But, you know, looking back, that might have been a good thing to do. And, you know, taking time out for yourself rather than working 16 hours a day, every day. You can only do that for so long. And then apart from that and doing too much, I think learning your numbers, knowing your numbers is critical. And I think to my detriment over previous years, that would be something that I would definitely recommend.
Knowing your numbers seems to be a popular one these days, which I'm glad today people hopefully know their numbers. Because years ago when I used to be selling the software, it was always people were buying it because it would churn out your storage invoices on a monthly basis, and that was always a chore. It would still do your quotations and that, but people weren't necessarily putting the figures in. Today, yes, they love the fact that it still churns out the invoices and is now emailed and everything else.
Yep.
Now, they want to know their costs. They want to put their driver rates in. They want to put in their porter rates. They want to put their material rates in. Don't necessarily update them on a regular basis, however, which they should do. But at least they've got some rates in there.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you, isn't it? If you're being told by your system that it's going to be £800 to do that job, it's entirely up to you whether you charge £900, £1,400, or even £600. It's your choice. But at least then you know your costs.
Exactly. Definitely.
So what is your high point of being in the industry?
Well, apart from being on your show.
Absolutely.
I guess, as I said, getting my operator's license. We've had it maybe a year, 2 years now. So that was a thing for us. It was something that we didn't need or didn't do in the past. But it's definitely a good thing to have. We've only got the one vehicle. That's 7.5 tonner. But it just gives us the opportunity to use bigger vehicles if and when we decide to.
So is your aim to put like an 18-tonner on the books as well?
I think for even as soon as this season, because it's quiet at the moment, but I'm expecting spring and summer to be crazily busy for me this year. Not hopefully too busy. But I can see us renting a big vehicle just for the summer and then returning it back. And I think that'd be a wise thing to do because it is quiet over the winter periods. And I can see having too many vehicles over the winter that still need to be paid for won't make the money. And you make loads of money over the summer, you lose it all back again over the winter because you've still got all the charges. So that is a key point. So I think, yes, an 18-ton truck would be good. But trying to find the drivers at the moment is an issue. Yeah. So I can drive the bigger vehicles, but if I want to get out of the trucks and more working on the business more than in the business, then I need the drivers, both for the bigger vehicles and the vans.
Yeah, so it's a hard job trying to get a driver these days, and I don't see it getting any easier. I really don't. No.
Because all the removal companies seem to have that issue.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that it's not just me. But as an industry, it's not good. Because what's going to happen is that if you haven't got the drivers to drive the vehicles, it's going to make an increase in supply and demand. So it's going to push up prices.
Yeah.
Because if you're too busy, there's no point doing it for a low price. And especially if all other removal companies don't have the facility to take on that work, it will bump up the prices, which I guess is not a bad thing at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. But there's only so much you can increase the prices by. You can't just double your prices overnight, can you? Just because you haven't got a HGV driver, for example.
Well, sometimes the accountant may disagree with you. I guess he likes to see that profit margin a bit better.
Well, ask the accountant to become a salesperson for a while.
Yes, yes.
You might get a different understanding of the business. What one thing would you change within the moving industry? Apart from obviously having more available drivers.
At the moment in Edinburgh, they just brought, and it might be diverging a little bit, they brought in no parking on pavements. And rightly so. But it does seem to be a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction because the roads are not big enough to have two vehicles parked either side of the road and then have a gap in the middle for vehicles to get past.
Yeah.
Because vehicles park on the pavement to give the vehicles driving down the road space. And what's going to happen, and it's happened already, is that never mind about normal vehicles, but emergency vehicles can't get down the roads.
Exactly.
What's also going to happen is that everyone's going to lose their wing mirrors and scratches down the side because the distance to drive down is narrower and you are going to get people driving down and taking out people's wing mirrors. So it's going to get rid of one issue, i.e. opening up the pavements, and again, rightly so, but it's going to cause so many other issues with motorists driving down the road. And I guess the thing with bigger cars, wider cars, and definitely wider vans, and if you're even thinking of the bigger vehicles, they're going to encroach even further into the road, therefore narrowing the access for vehicles to get past. It's going to be a major issue in the future, I think, for all people with cars or vehicles, and it's going to get worse. But I think what will happen is that all the roads will just have to be restricted to parking maybe on one side.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
But then where are half of the cars in Edinburgh then going to park? Because it's another thing that if you need the road bigger and cars are being parked on two sides and then reduce it to one side, there's nowhere for those cars to go. Because I guess Edinburgh is a busy city and there's not many free car parking spaces to go. So I can see it being very interesting over the next days, weeks, months. And I think it's going to be lots of issues.
Interesting one.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give yourself just starting out in the industry?
Charge more. When I started again, I might have said I would have done a job for some pizza and some beer money. But 20 years ago, I was so fit and so nimble, running up and down the stairs. And I was charging peanuts for that because I could. Now I'm a bit slower. Hopefully more and more educated in the removal industry, but I am a bit slower. Probably not getting as much done, but charging so much more. Whereas years ago, I should have charged even more than I am doing now because I was so good at getting people's furniture up and down the stairs. And in Edinburgh, it seems that everyone's on the third floor. Nobody lives on the ground floor in Edinburgh. So being young and your knees and your back and your shoulders are less worn out. Yeah, I should have charged more when I was fit and strong. But that's the idea of getting other people to do the work for you. And I can just sit here talking to you.
Well, some people want to sit there and talk to me. Some people would like to be in the Bahamas, David. So I don't know which one is better.
Oh.
Associations. Are you in any association, your business?
No, we're not in the BAR. We've not really felt the need over the years, mainly because maybe I was small. I do feel that most of the BAR seems to be very far down south compared to Edinburgh. Let me know if I'm wrong, but when I check out some of the courses, they are very far south, which is not a reason not to go to them, but it just makes that a little bit harder. However, we have looked into becoming a BAR member, but because this company is only officially like 2 years old or so, I think you need to be trading for 2 years or more before you can even try. So I think later this year, we'll probably try for membership.
And then maybe if you get the membership, there's then more members in the area. Chances of the training courses and that moving up north will increase.
Very good point. Very possibly. Yeah.
Because they do run some damn good courses at the BAR.
I hear you talking about it a lot. And I think looking back, maybe rather than making all my own mistakes over the years, if I had went to the training, could I have decreased those errors and got the information from BAR to guide me along the way? So I can see that now, but you can't really do much about not being in it for the last 20 years or so. But maybe I can do something about being in it soon. Because lots of your people on your podcast seem to love BAR. And I think you're an advocate of BAR as well.
Absolutely.
So you're just going to say, Dave, just do it. I think is what you're going to, your advice would be.
You read my mind. Just do it, Dave. Just do it. Just apply. Yeah. Just join. I think it's everything that comes with the BAR. I know some people say, oh, it's just an old boys club. Yeah, maybe it was years ago. It's not quite the same these days.
Yep.
There's a great feeling about having that wonderful badge on the side of your truck, on your letterheads, on your website. It does mean a lot. The T's and C's are absolutely superb, although lots of other non-bar member companies take their T's and C's anyway and just alter them a little bit. But it's the backup that you get from them. It's all of that.
Maybe I'll put that on my things to do list for this year.
Do it, David. Do it. Definitely do it.
Thank you.
So where do you see yourself and the industry in the next 5 years? Where do you see yourself, David, apart from being a BAR member?
Yes. I think like most removal companies, they always say more trucks, more vans, storage either in a warehouse or the shipping containers. And I can see that happening. I would love my own land with my own ship containers, etc. So I think that's where I feel that I am going. I just feel it'll give me a lot more freedom to do what I want on that land.
Yes.
But I also see, again, with this recycling, upcycling thing that we try and do, either myself or work with a partner to open up a shop to sell all these items that we get from the house clearances. And then what doesn't sell, then maybe try and auction anything else off. Either, again, subcontract it to an auctioneer to do our own little auction on a Saturday afternoon or something like that. I also think then anything that doesn't get auctioned off, then maybe like a rage room. Have you heard about them?
I have, yes. What an awesome idea.
Yeah, have their furniture or teacups and stuff, and you can go in there with a baseball bat or chuck things against the wall and get rid of some stress. Because I think if we collect the items, if we can sell the items, then great. If we can give the items away, then even better. If we can not do that, because, again, everything's not going to be sellable, then why don't somebody smash it up?
That is an awesome idea.
And then those items can be separated, as in the metal, the wood, the bricks, the cloth.
Yeah.
And then that could all can be moved to different recycling commercial centres where that can be reused. And then anything else that can't be reused, repurposed, then that goes into landfill. So that's the way we're going. And I just think it'd be a great idea to have all those businesses connected in some way.
Absolutely. I love the rage one. Book me on it. Book me on it.
Definitely.
That sounds great, because then people will pay you to smash hell out of items with a baseball bat. But in effect, they're pulling the items apart on your behalf.
Well, I like the idea. Because as a company, if we get paid to do the house clearance, we then sell those items. We then auction those items. And then whatever doesn't sell, then we get someone to pay to break up those items. And these are items that we will probably need to break up anyway to separate into the constituent parts of metal and wood, etc., etc. We get paid a lot of ways down the line. And the more that we do not send to landfill means that we do then not have to pay the landfill charges. So I just feel it's such a win-win-win-win-win business model. I just need to get it set up. For me, I think it's a great idea. But again, I can't do everything.
No, no.
So, yeah, that's my Achilles heel, I think. I need other partners to help with these bits and pieces.
Yeah, yeah. Can't do everything on your own. That's the downside.
No.
So where do you see the industry in the next 5 years? Do you see it changing much? Obviously, this recycling and upcycling is becoming a big part of it these days.
Yes. What's going through my mind, will that be a short-term thing? Will there be changes in the industry and recycling anyway? The amount of plastic that even in our household that cannot be recycled just seems to be crazy.
Yeah.
You think it's plastic, plastic goes into the plastic recycling bin. That's just not the case.
Yep.
So I think that would change on the recycling mold a lot more. So therefore, whatever the manufacturers produce must or needs to be recyclable. I guess it's like the bubble wrap that people use these days. It's supposed to be biodegradable for the removals industry, etc. Things like that will increase, I think, because customers will expect it. It'll become more part of the norm.
Yep.
Even paper parcel tape rather than the plastic parcel tape. Maybe instead of using the plastic sofa covers and mattress covers, it'll probably turn into paper. There is a difference in cost in these things, but I do believe lots of people will be prepared to pay that extra cost for the green removal service that can be achieved.
Do you get clients asking you for these services, or do you use it as a selling tool?
I think very few will ask for it. I think our website and our branding and the way we talk to people, I think we do try and sell us being green, not just by colour, but by ethics.
Yeah, when you mention it to them, do they then raise their eyebrows and think, do you know what? What a wonderful idea.
Yes. I think what I've noticed definitely more recently is that we do get lots more calls or inquiries about them saying, we've got removal boxes that were just unpacked. Do you want them?
Yeah.
Because one, it saved them getting rid of them, going to the tip and getting rid of them. But I think in their minds, they do foresee and want to, you know, even the removal boxes to have an extra life. So if they can pass them on to someone like me, then we can reuse those boxes on other jobs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I do feel it is becoming a little bit more in people's minds. And I can only assume it's going to increase, and it will increase, just because more and more people are talking about it. The manufacturers, as I mentioned, are moving down that line. Dare I say, there's probably more brown boxes being sold these days than white boxes, because the white boxes are treated a lot harsher and they're harder to recycle, something along those lines. So all these little baby steps will make an increase. And I don't know in the total quantity of removal products compared to the nation's recycling that needs to be done, but it's definitely, it's got to be a substantial tonnage. And if we stop using certain plastics in the removals industry, we stop using the bubble wrap that is only used once and then goes into landfill because it cannot be recycled. If that can change, that in itself is a big thing to me.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I have issues when I try and shred documents at my own home and can't put it in my recycling bin. I can't get my head around that.
No.
I'm all up for the recycling. I love the fact that my recycling bin goes out every 2 weeks just at home and it's full of things, but it still blows my mind that I can put paper in there, but I can't put shredded paper. It blows my mind. Maybe somebody can let me know why I can't do that. What do you do outside of the industry to switch off then, David?
Much to my downfall, very little. It's work with me, especially in the years past. However, I am switching off more and more because I think that's very important. But I guess I'm very active in the OCR, the obstacle course racing.
Oh, really?
If you know about that, like Tough Mudder and Spartan and those type of races where you run through mud and crawl on your belly up underneath barbed wire and climb over things.
That's too muddy for me.
You can have a shower afterwards. It's not so bad. So I've been doing lots of that. I've even done some endurance races like that for like 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
Which is a bit stupid and a bit crazy, but I guess it's it's an achievement that I quite like to boast about now and again. I would still like to do those things. However, it's the kind of thing where the heart says yes and the body is starting to say no. So it's getting less and less frequent.
I think mine said that when I was born.
However, I'm liking the idea. A friend of mine is selling a week's trip to Barbados where you participate in a swimming race of different lengths. So I'm sort of like toying with that idea to get into 10-kilometer swimming race in Barbados. And I just feel that swimming sounds a bit easier if I'm going to upset some swimmers than than running around in mud for 24 hours. And I feel it might be a bit warmer and a bit nicer. So I'm sort of like moving into that kind of thing. I can feel myself smiling now just thinking about that.
I like the idea of Barbados.
Yeah. And I couldn't possibly go on holiday for no reason, just to enjoy yourself and relax. I think I'll need to go there for a purpose, like doing a 10K swim. So I'm liking the sound of that.
No, David, you have to go there for a business purpose to see how things are done in Barbados. The fact that you then do a swim is irrelevant.
I like the idea. I like your thinking.
You're checking packing materials and they're recycling and upcycling.
That's it.
And obviously you still do lots of things with the children.
Yes, I've got Matilda, my 14-year-old child, who I guess keeps me a little bit busy. She's a busy young lady as well. She does vaulting, which is like acrobatics on a moving horse.
Always
think of the cowboys and Indians in the films years ago when they're all jumping on and off and standing on them and doing that kind of thing. Pirouettes. You know, it's all very artistic. It's amazing what they do. So she's even a British champion in vaulting.
Oh, wow.
Which makes me feel happy and proud.
I couldn't jump through a hoop standing on the ground, let alone on the back of a horse.
Me neither these days. But yeah, that's a good thing. And she'll be going to Europe, I don't know, three times this year competing.
Oh,
and
good
all around
on her.
Scotland and England. So yeah, good on her. Superb.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
She's just started learning the guitar as well, so it gets a bit noisy in our house. And she's forming a band at school. So, yeah, busy, busy, busy.
Oh, well, you need to stay on those trucks then. Keep out of the way of the noise and keep making the money coming in to get out there and travel around Europe and compete.
The deal is that when she makes it big, I'm going to be the roadie or the tour truck driver. And that sounds good to me. That's a job I can do.
That's a cracking deal. That's a cracking
deal. Yeah.
And finally, I like to end my podcast with a funny moving story. Do you have one or more to tell?
Yeah. Well, let's see if it's funny or not. When I was doing the postgrad in Edinburgh, so 20 years ago or so, on my physio course, there was a helper of mine, Cormac Ryan, who used to give me a hand every now and again. And we went to this house to move some furniture and a wardrobe. The house was falling apart. It was all dusty and creaking floors, very old. It could have been in a scary movie sort of house. And the client was telling us that the husband had recently passed away and she needed to clear out some of the items of his stuff. Anyway, we got to this wardrobe at the top of the stairs and we had to get it down, but it was too big. So we had to go over the top banister. So we got it to the top banister and then Cormac ran down the stairs to receive it at the bottom. I was at the top. So I'm dropping it down the stairs. He's trying to hold it up. I ask him, has he got it? And he goes, no. He then replies to me, have I got it? I reply, no. We've both got a hand on it, but, you know, not the sort of weight where the strength you need to move this wardrobe, because we just weren't really touching it. But it just seemed to drift down beautifully down to the floor. And we both got downstairs and looked at each other thinking, how did that happen? Because I wasn't lifting it and you wasn't lifting it. Then what was going on? So we spoke to the lady. And she says, yeah, that was my husband's wardrobe. He liked that. He probably gave you a hand. So after that, I thought we would leave quite quickly. But I think we were very appreciative of that extra hand.
Oh my word. Oh my word. So you both have hold of it, but literally as if it's empty, and then all of a sudden, yeah. Oh my word. How spooky is that?
Even if it's a light wardrobe, which it wasn't.
Yeah.
It's still a heavy piece of kit, and we weren't straining at all. Just one at the top, one at the bottom, and it just seemed to come down nicely. Maybe it's because we're good at our job and we know what we're doing. But still to this day, it was too easy the way it went. So I think we maybe had some guidance to move that wardrobe on that day.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Well, David, thank you very much for giving up your time this morning to record an episode of Moving Matters with me. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I sincerely hope you enjoyed episode 80 of Moving Matters. Please rate, review and subscribe in your favourite podcast player of choice, and please tell your industry colleagues about Moving Matters. My thanks and appreciation go to David Burgess of We Move You Edinburgh for giving up his time to record this episode. Thank you again, David. If you would like to know more about We Move You Edinburgh and the services they provide, then you will find links within the show notes for this episode and on our webpage, movingmatterspodcast.co.uk. And please, if you have a funny moving story that could be relayed to our listeners, or you would like to be a guest on the podcast, then do reach out to me by completing the contact form on our webpage, movingmatterspodcast.co.uk. Well, that is all from me, so until next time, keep moving.